This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Indecision. Overthinking. Second-guessing every choice you make. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Beige on beige on beige. Ugh. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
This is WEEI Afternoons
with Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy-Stevens,
and three-time Super Bowl champion Ted Johnson on WEEI.
Meg, I'll be honest.
This song is about me. Yeah. That's the question, right, that you were going to ask?
It is by the artist whose name is exactly what we all can't wait to do whenever we hear other people talk mock drafts, Jet. The honest question of the hour, and this is WEI Afternoons. Thank you guys for joining us. And a gentle reminder, our draft coverage on WEI is brought to you by McFarland Energy. Upgrade your air conditioning system before the summer rush. Visit McFarlandEnergy.com. By Northeast Men's Health, the leader in men's sexual health. Get your sex life back on track. NortheastMen'sHealth.com.
What was that voice?
I don't know why I felt compelled.
That was incredible, Fitzy. Continue, please.
Yeah, get your sex life back on track, bro. I don't know why. God bless everybody that can do those reads and do them seamlessly without ever batting a lash or just, okay.
You know, Janice, hey, listen. Hello?
Janice, why can't we get our sex life?
Janice, I love you. We'll figure it out.
And by the way, anyone that's like, Northeast Men's Health didn't pay for all of this nonsense and this riffing. They've been mentioned three more times than they normally would, so they're probably very healthy. Plus, ask Ted Johnson how it works. He'll tell you. Right, Ted? I thought you were going to have a TED drop ready for me, Stiz. And, of course, our draft coverage is brought to you by Lucky Energy, the number one energy drink in Massachusetts. All right, so, Mego, here's the honest question of the hour. Are you more excited to learn who the Patriots will take in the first round, or are you more excited to not have to talk mock drafts for 10 months?
Oh, I'm still looking forward to the draft. I know I get a little grumpy during this time of year because It does get so silly, and especially with a draft like this one, which frankly just looks like it blows. Like, we do end up just going over the same storylines over and over and thinking about, okay, it's mock draft 7.0. Or what trades could possibly happen? Let's get crazy. At the same time, I am looking forward to it because it does mean a lot for the Patriots. So even though it's kind of a stinky draft, like, I'm still excited for draft night. I'm excited for our all-night draft night party with Christian Arcan.
Oh, my God. It's going to be an absolute dude-a-palooza in there. You, me, Arcan, Shime, Lyons is calling in. Speaking of which, we're just about a half an hour away from John Lyons calling in to tell us what it was like to be in the mighty presence of Jordan and attend the University of North Carolina football practice over the weekend. So you're not going to want to miss that as well. I'm with you, and I guess I'm probably just a little mock draft fatigued, a little jaded, trying to parse out, analyze, become an expert on every possible tackle the Patriots may take in the first round, trading back into the first round. Who's a worthy second-round prospect? If they liked him enough in the second round, shouldn't they have just taken him in the first round in the first place? Why'd you pass up on this guy? Who are they going to trade back with? The quarterbacks all suck out loud in this draft. Like, you can only do it for so long before eventually you just get to that, okay, it's time to be there. It's draft time. I don't know if I can keep doing this anymore. because like there aren't a lot of new names that pop up. There aren't like we haven't had many new rumors. It's I think we kind of stalled out recently with the idea that like, OK, Travis Hunter's going to go to Abdul Carter tweeted out a photo of Lawrence Taylor, you know, a couple days ago. So he wants to go be the next great linebacker slash edge rusher on the Giants and continue that legacy. So you're faced with Will Campbell, Membu, Jalen Walker, or trading back. We've kind of done that whole rondelay a number of times. I think now that's why we probably are trying to make something more out of this than it is with the whole Derek Carr injury, which we teased over just before we caught up with the 4 o'clock hour here. So Derek Carr has this shoulder injury. I don't know if it's a tear, an impingement, or whatever the medicinal term is, but his shoulder's blanked up, and he may miss a significant portion of, if not the entirety, of the 2025 NFL season. Bet you wish you held on to Joe Milton for a couple days longer now, huh, Wolf, Vrabel, and company, eh? Okay, so Joe Milton's gone. He's in Dallas. The Saints might very well not have a quarterback, period, unless you're, you know, talking about the Rattler. So is there any chance the Saints like one of these quarterbacks between Jackson Dart and Shedeur Sanders, who you heard Tom Pelissero from NFL Network speaking about just moments ago? Is there any chance they like one of these quarterbacks enough to want to jump the gun, move up to four, offer the Patriots, according to the Jimmy Johnson or Rich Hill draft chart, maybe a second round pick so they can grab one of these guys, start their QB development process with rookie head coach Kellen Moore, and then put the Patriots in a position to take best available at nine and then be able to maneuver back into the first round with two seconds and two thirds.
I think most of us are in favor of the Patriots trying to trade back and get more value, right? And yeah. I say that by trying to accrue more draft capital, whether it's a second round pick in this draft or next year's draft. I think most of us look at what's there after the first three. And from the outside, we feel like, if it's kind of just like a flattened out landscape, then don't you just want to pick up something a little extra when you're in such a tough position of your rebuild? That said, like, even if you're at nine and you're thinking about taking an offensive tackle, in quotations, somebody who you want to play left tackle, I just increasingly feel uncomfortable with most of the top half of this first round of the draft trying to find that. Like, the names that are out there, I was thinking about Mike Reese in his Sunday football notes for ESPN.com. Mm-hmm. I was reading, he pointed out that the Patriots have drafted offensive linemen in 12 consecutive drafts.
12?
And I want to read you the names and tell me when to stop when you feel like you have somebody who is an impactful, meaningful player. This is not just tackles. This is including centers and guards. Okay. I'm gonna go through these names, and I'm going to exempt last year because Caden Wallace and Laydon Robinson, I still think it's early for offensive linemen. Hopefully those guys are contributors, but it doesn't seem like they're very helpful for that either. Okay,
all right, so stop. Froholt, stop.
Yeah, so this is going 2023. Ready?
Yep.
Tell me when to stop.
Okay.
Jake Andrews?
Nope.
Cidiso?
Nope.
Antonio Maffey?
Nope.
Cole Strange?
Nope.
Andrew Stuber?
Stuba.
William nope. Sherman?
Who?
Dustin Woodard. Hjalte Froholt.
Hjalte Froholt. Yeah, plays okay. for the Texans now.
Isaiah Wynn.
Mm-hmm.
Antonio Garcia.
Nope.
Connor McDermott.
Oh, man, that guy. Nope.
Joe Tooney.
Yes.
Okay, that was 2016, Fitzy.
It's been since 2016. They haven't hit on a lineman in almost a decade.
And so I was talking to somebody about this earlier today, and I was saying that just, I know that it's Vrabel's show now and it's going to be different and you're going to evaluate differently, but I still feel such lack of confidence about what the Patriots can evaluate with offensive linemen. And back in those days, you had Dante Scarnecchia on your staff. And so I look at it and I go, I'm just really uncomfortable thinking about swinging, reaching for Membu or for Will Campbell. Like, I'm getting to the point where I'm talking myself so far out of that. And somebody I was talking to was saying, yeah, but, you know, they're drafting at four now. They haven't drafted that high up for a lineman. With Cole Strange, it was the first round, but it was way further back in the mid-20s.
They traded back and avoided taking a lot of impactful players in the process.
Right. But I'm also thinking, Fitzy, what have we heard about this draft? Some people think between 4 and 12 or 4 and even 20, it's just a flat landscape of talent. And so I know this is a lot of offensive line talk, but this is why I sit here going, I know we bitch about the arm length and like, oh, it's 33 versus 32 and 5/8, but it's because they've been so bad at drafting offensive linemen. It's been 9 years since you've had an impactful guy there, let alone a left tackle, which is one of the most premium, top three premium positions on offense. And so, yeah, I'm worried about them swinging with a stick and pick at 4 or trying to bump back to 9 and take Membu there. Like, I don't feel good about either of those options as we sit here today.
Yeah, I gotta tell you, it's not just that, you know, staying, doing a stick and pick at 4 and taking Jalen Walker. He could be awesome. I mean, it might be a great pass rusher, linebacker. It could be Dont'a Hightower 2.0, who knows. It's not that. Will Campbell could be Tony Boselli. I don't know. He might be Peter Skoronski. Could be Zach Martin. Could be the next Isaiah Wynn. I don't know. It's just, I know unsexy is the new sexy of the 2025 draft, so we just have to live with it, which is, I believe, also part of the reason why we have such mock draft fatigue at this point. I just can't, like, no one has come out and told me. Skarnecchia has said he could play. Others said, don't worry about it. He's going to be fine. Some have said it's not going to work out. There's been just enough doubt that people have put out there that has made me not want to go behind the paywall and become a card-carrying member of the Will Campbell Draft at 4 club. I just can't. I just can't get behind it. It's not certain enough. If you have to nail this pick, and like you said, the Currens of the world and beyond have told us 4 through 12 or 4 through 20 or beyond could all be the same level of talent for those players, then if you have a chance to get two of those players by moving back to 9 or 8 or 10, or if someone wants to make you a crazy offer, do it. Because what are the odds, Mego, that you're going to find someone that works out in the flat plains of 4 through 20 talent-wise if you take two of those players? If you can draft one at 9 and then trade back in at 20 and grab a receiver and a tackle, or grab a tackle and a linebacker, or an edge rusher and a tackle, aren't the odds just that much greater that you're actually going to find someone that's going to hit, as opposed to if you only take one?
I hope so. Like, if we are looking at this draft as the value is really in the middle rounds, then I'm agreeing that you should get out of the 4 spot and try to pick up more for yourself, more picks for yourself, whatever the deal is. And if it's 9, if it's the Saints, then that's fine. I'm just worried that then if it's 9, it's like, okay, so it's Membu. Okay, so that's what we're doing. Like, I'd be more interested in them taking somebody at 9 and then trying to trade back up to the very late stages of the first round and going with Josh Connerly Jr. or somebody like that, because they're now, those guys are even projected not to be around in the second round for your pick there. Like, that's not to get, like, too in the weeds with this, because it's starting to feel like Shime Dork country, but I do feel like, if you're looking at and you're hearing that's where the value is, then go where the value is. Don't force yourself to make a reach there at 4, especially when we talk so much about how bad they've been at drafting wide receivers, but the offensive line overall has not been much better, and it's hurting you just as much.
I've been banging on the drum to have the Patriots just stick and take BPA, best player available, at number 4. The whole line that the fan told me in the parking lot 2 years ago, quit getting fancy, just turn on Yahoo Auto Draft and walk away with the best players you can. The problem is, none of us know who that best player or best players is/are at this point. So what do? That's why the confusion comes in. By the way, I can tell you right now that it seems like everybody is universally agreeing that player is not Shedeur Sanders. This tweeted out just a while ago. Albert Breer said, quote, I'm hearing that he isn't a great athlete on tape, doesn't have exceptional arm talent, and too often does things that simply won't translate to the NFL game. Does that sound like people are going to want to jump up and take him at 4, or that he's even a first-round talent? Andy Hart has said he thinks he's going to fall in the first round, or maybe not even go in the first round. I'm starting to think that the Hart man might be right.
Is Andy basing that off the plot of Draft Day, the terrible movie that I watched 2 weeks ago?
I don't know if Andy's ever seen it. Can I let you in on a
I feel like
secret?
That would be I've an Andy movie. You've never, don't watch it.
I don't want to. I heard it's awful.
It's so, so bad. It's so bad. But one of the plot points, spoiler alert, if you haven't seen this bad movie.
It's been a decade. It's fine.
And you're interested in watching a terrible movie, is that I'll just say a team passes on someone who everyone is locked in as the number one pick. And then once they pass on them, all the other teams pass on them and they start falling out of the first round.
Yeah, I uh, I'm not in. I don't think Sanders is going to be the guy. You got to hope that the New Orleans Saints see Ole Miss QB Jackson Dart as the can't-miss prospect and their future under center and want to move up. Otherwise, start learning to speak Will Campbell or Membu, bro. 617-779-7937. There's your telephone number to call in with your Patriots draft talk and draft thoughts just a week and a half away. It is also your text line, and we will share the best text messages of the day in the 5 o'clock hour and odds and ends as well. I see your calls are lining up, so let's hurry up and pay the bills. Hopefully Janice will be there this time. But first, before Janice, let's get you some Dan Ball trending sports news.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Looking to improve your diet in the new year? Try seeing a personal dietitian with Nourish. Nourish has hundreds of dietitians who specialize in a variety of health concerns, including weight loss, gut health, and more. Meet with your dietitian online and message them anytime through the Nourish app. Nourish accepts hundreds of insurance plans. 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Find your personal dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the risk takers, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the boldest voices in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about breaking barriers, defying expectations, and rewriting the rules. No limits, no apologies, just real talk. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, more of WEEI Afternoons
with Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy Stevens, and Ted Johnson.
I don't need to tell you whose voice that was.
Bro, that whistle came in hot.
That was a hot whistle. That was indeed.
That's what people say it sounds like when my when the radio is on and the dog's in the room. And I'm talking.
That's it.
That almost sounds like a fake whistle. Like that's the...
That was that was Jordan blowing the whistle because Bill did something wrong.
It's like a too short
song.
Wow.
That was Jordan blowing the whistle. Like Bill, photo op over here. Bill, come here. IG live.
That's a little bit low for a dog whistle. That's interesting.
That's it.
Wait, hold on. I insist right now. When your time is up, going forward in our 3 o'clock hour, bit the 3-point stance. That's what we need to hear instead of the buzzer.
That's it.
There you go. That's all you get.
Not a horror. You've had worse.
I have indeed. Or you can just play my Cam Newton sounder. Whatever works for you guys.
That's my favorite.
That is my Cam Newton. I used to love the way that he said, like, you know, like, is in the 3-point stance intro. Not that anyone really cares, but whatever. There's the whole, like, everyone loved Dak Prescott going, like, what is that? Yeah, here we go. And the way Cam Newton used to snap the ball, he would just go, ready, hooty hoo. And then I don't know how you figured out what you were supposed to snap on. Was it on the hootie or the who? I don't know. Small, it's Mego. It's the little things that keep us going.
Find your joy where you can.
Kim Jam, Kamalama.
Oh, my God. Stop it.
Oh, nothing made me happier than saying things that drove Curtis nuts.
Yes, we can.
Why not?
Kamalama.
Mego, do you are you with me? Is there any part of your body that like appreciates Cam Newton at all, or at least like for what he tried to do?
Cam Jam, Kamalama.
Yeah, I mean, look, Cam, like he says crazy stuff every 6 months, but the COVID season sucked, and it was not fun to cover at all. Yeah. And he tried his best, and he was a very pleasant person to deal with through virtual availabilities. There's not much more that I can say about it than that.
He was a great interview with Greg every Monday on Patriots Monday. Like, I will say that.
I think he was excellent.
He was trying. You know, it's not like he came in here and was just a terrible attitude and everything. Like, he brought in the right stuff. He just was washed.
Now he just says
crazy stuff every 6 months.
With more hair popping through his crazy hats. I love it. And I like just what you said. I'll walk away from this now on the note of he tried. And that's the one thing people don't give him any credit for doing, because you never want to be the guy that follows the goat. And he at least gave it a go that particular year with a bare bones team that had but a talented lineman. And of course, that was Joe Tooney. Great point by Mego just a few minutes ago. If you missed it, subscribe to the podcast, or perhaps you could use the Odyssey app and rewind to listen to WEEI radio shows on your time, on your schedule. Mego went through the recent history of the New England Patriots drafting offensive linemen, and while we all bitch and moan and harangue the Patriots for being terrible at drafting and developing wide receivers, you know what they've almost been as bad at? Drafting and developing offensive linemen. That was a great take by you, Mego. So let's jump to the phones real quick before we catch up with our guy John Lyons and get some tale told of what it was like to go to a Bill Belichick practice at UNC. Jordan approved. Bring your own dog whistle. Let's go to Miles in Waltham, who wants to talk a little draft. What's up, Miles?
Hey, how's it going, guys? And Mego. I know everyone's talking about trying to trade back in the draft and get more draft picks, and I get that, but everyone also is talking about how bad this year's draft is. I understand that, but, like, what if we traded back and got more picks for next year's draft? I mean, I understand people don't want to, like, keep spinning their wheels and they want to get players in, but if the players this year aren't very good, then why are you going to waste it?
That's a fair question to ask at this particular time. Miles, thanks very much for the call. Mego, do you think the Patriots, is their want to compete in an AFC East that could see two of their rivals in the Jetropolitans and the Lolfins taking a step back perhaps? Is this the right year to go for it and say, no, we need more guys now, we're going to draft and develop and let's get some more talent in the building? Or should they be happy with what they've gotten defensively, at least in free agency, make some selections, but stockpile for next year, which is supposed to be, as far as receivers and other players go, more talented? I would pick guys now because I would love to see an upgrade on the line and in the tight end room for the future, as well as running back.
I don't think you really have a choice with some of this. You have to figure out the left tackle position. You can't just decide we're going to roll out Vidarian Lowe and expect him to be a starter for the entire season starting in September. Like, that's not realistic. They kind of tried that with Chukwukor and Vidarian and a couple other combinations last year, and you saw how it went. You can't have that again. So maybe, like, when you say trading back, I think the idea is more that you're just trying to collect a little bit more capital, a little bit more value, because it's not like you're going to fix everything in one draft, and you're not going to fix everything in one round or two rounds of the draft. So just trying to give yourself as much opportunities as possible to upgrade these spots on your roster. But for some of them, you don't have a choice. You got to field a team, and you can't do it, all due respect, with just Vidarian Lowe.
No, with all due respect, you cannot do it with just Vidarian Lowe. He is no Cam Jamma. Lyons is with us. Okay, I'll get to him in one quick sec. Let's just finish cleaning the phones. Mike's up in Haverhill. What's up, Mike?
Hey, how's it going? I hate to agree with Shime, but I kind of want the Patriots to trade back into late single digits and get Tet McMillan. But that's really not why I'm calling in. I'm calling in to wish Mego a happy belated birthday from all of us in the Twitch chat.
Thanks,
Sonny
Mike.
Blue 81, Big E from Brockton, Brett Norton, let me talk to you, yeah. But what I also want to say is I tried to call in on the Saturday show. It was on hold, but I had to hang up. I got the call from the parents saying my mother had to put her 17-year-old puppy to sleep. She woke up with seizures. So everyone out there with a dog, go home, give it a hug, scratch its ear, rub its belly, throw the ball, give it a treat, because you never know how much time you have with your dog.
Thank you all. Sorry to hear that, Mike. Yeah. We are dog lovers on this show.
Big time. We are big dog lovers on this show, and that is a great sentiment to share, Mike. You gave us a draft thought. You wish Mego a belated happy birthday, and you sent some love to the pups. Great job by you. By the way, Mego, how was the birthday?
It was wonderful.
Did you get a spot at the bar?
It was tremendous. Yes, at Anchovies in the South End, which, like, I don't want to dork out, but one of the best martinis in the entire greater Boston area.
I have heard.
It is so difficult to get bar seats there, but we just timed it exactly right, so we didn't have to have reservations. God bless you, Anchovies.
I got to say, Mego, God bless you, because you have helped stir the pot and been the narrative driver in the three-point stance two shows in a row. Friday, you whipped up everyone into a frothy egg top cocktail lather, complaining about reservations for bar seats in Boston.
I just come on
and
here
today,
and I bitch
no
a lot.
Cell phones in the playoffs.
I just bitch a lot, I guess. You know, I get out of my house and I get bothered.
You're like a dainty lady. I'm going to start calling you Lady David from now on, because you're like Larry David who loves sports.
Karen David.
There we go. And we have a great piece of Larry David audio to share with you in odds and ends in about an hour. Don't go anywhere. Speaking of curmudgeons who love sports, joining us now on the hotline, fresh from his trip down to Chapel Bill, which he documented at WEEI.com, and the guy who delivered, I believe, the best Patriots mock draft to date. You can listen to it on the Six Rings and Football Things podcast feed from just late last week. The Lion's Den himself, John Lyons, is on the horn. What's up, Johnny?
Hey, pleasure to be on with you, Fitzy, and Karen David as well.
Thank you. Thanks for joining us.
That's great to have you, buddy. John, so listen, everyone, you know, if they don't understand and appreciate your football acumen, in addition to being a football savant, WEEI, New England Football Journal, et cetera, you also coached for 7 years in the area as well. That preface aside, what inspired you to go to UNC, and how did you acquire clearance and credentials to get down to a Belichick coach practice in the springtime?
Yeah, well, it was 8 years, Fitzy, but who's counting? But look, when it came to going down to UNC, it was one of those things where they had this event. It's called Practice Like a Pro. It's like their quasi spring game, but they said they were going to treat it kind of like Bill used to treat Patriots practices. So I was like, I got to go check this out, see what it's like to watch Bill Belichick, and not just Bill Belichick, Steve Belichick, Brian Belichick, Jamie Collins, you know, all these former Patriot coaches and players, how they handle poaching at the college level. So I went down there and I had some contact with his representatives. You can take a guess who that was. And I also had some contact with UNC about getting down there. And I will say, they were pretty good about having me go down. But once you get down there, the media operation is very much like what Mego might remember in Foxborough, where, you know, there's no numbers on the practice jerseys. They don't do any interviews or anything. They give you no amount of information. So that was, you know, like being back home 8 years ago in Foxborough. But it was an interesting event overall, just seeing how they structured practice, you know, how they interacted with the players. Because, you know, as you guys know, it's a little bit different from the college level to the pro level. And one of the knocks on Bill in his final couple seasons was his ability to work with and relate to younger players. And obviously all these players are younger players, being 18 to 22 years old. So I found that really interesting to see.
So, John, thanks again for joining us. You mentioned people that you dealt with down there, and there's been like this big kerfuffle all over social media once again with Jordan Hudson because she's walking on the field at what looks like maybe the practice that you were at, the spring game that you were at, or at least on the sidelines.
Yeah, it was Saturday.
And interacting a lot with the assistant coaches and with Bill Belichick. What was her presence like there? Did you feel like she was, you know, just kind of hanging out to support Bill, or does it feel like she has hands-on in the organization?
So in that particular like viral video clip of her like going back and forth out to him, from what I could tell, it seemed like he was mic'd up for practice and she was helping him set the mic up, maybe because he's an old guy and technology isn't his thing. I don't know. But it seemed like she was helping him set that up. But for the rest of practice, like I bounced around between the press box, the field, and then in a section in the stands, and she was pretty much out of the way throughout the entire practice, because there was this corner of the end zone where they had a bunch of either recruits or committed athletes or alumni or just kind of famous people connected to UNC that were all kind of gathered in this corner of the end zone. And she was just kind of mingling among all those people. So once practice was underway, she was in the background kind of just mingling with all those people. So I mean, she's definitely, you know, when it comes to his career and his media obligations, it feels like she's connected to that. But when it came to the actual, like, hey, they're on the field getting ready to practice and practicing, she was kind of, you know, she was there, but she was in the background more mingling with some of the, like, famous alumni and donors in that group.
Was it awkward for you when you guys showed up in the same jacket?
You know what? Thankfully, my jacket was reversible, so able to save face. Yeah, yeah. No, thankfully, I do not have a jacket quite that loud. But yeah, it was. She was definitely the most recognizable figure in that corner, and there was probably, Mego, there was probably 100-ish people in that corner of the end zone when you combine, you know, the recruits to the donors, and she was definitely the most recognizable person of the group.
The Jim Harbaugh of Division III football coaching in Massachusetts, John Lyons, at The Real John Lyons, joins us here. Fitzy and Mego on WEEI Afternoons. John, what did you think of the way Belichick handled business, how he ran the practice, and the talent that you saw out there on the football field?
So first and foremost, Fitzy, they're going to be better than they were last year. Now, last year they had a losing record. They lost the Fenway Bowl to UConn. So, I mean, it's not like he's taken over a team that went 9-3, but they are going to be better. They brought in, I read, at least 18 new transfers already from the winter portal area or time. They should bring in more in the spring. So you could see that they have some talent there, but this is a team in back-to-back years that's lost Drake May and Omarion Hampton to the draft. So they'll be better than they were a year ago. I don't know if I'm going to see them beating Clemson in year one and winning the ACC. I could see them, honestly, being kind of like SMU last year, where they're good. They're obviously much better than last year. They're good. They get to the ACC championship game. Maybe they win it. Maybe they lose a close one and sneak into the college football playoff. Just kind of based on what I saw football-wise, because I think they got some top-end guys there. Their defensive backs look pretty good. Their line has some size, but it just feels like they're maybe a year away from that, you know, full, legit, good-level team-type depth, like when you get to the big boys in college football. And as far as how he ran it, it was kind of a mix between like what you might see in a Patriots training camp practice, what a traditional college spring game will be like, and maybe kind of what a traditional regular college practice will be like. They had some individual stuff, some offense, defense, team periods. I will say, and this is no surprise to you guys or the listeners, special teams is going to be a big focus at North Carolina. They were doing that almost every other period. They were doing offense, defense group, then a special teams thing, an offense defense group, then another special teams thing. So if you've been to a Patriots training camp practice or you've been to a college football spring type game, it was kind of a mix between those two. And I'll say one last thing on that. They're definitely really organized. They seem really prepared. So all those hallmarks of the good Patriots teams over the years, I could see some elements of that. Obviously, it's really early and it was only one practice, but I could kind of see some elements of it in what I saw Saturday.
So, John, compared to what you saw from Bill Belichick in many years in New England, was there anything about the way that he ran that practice/game that surprised you and made you think that maybe his approach at the college level is going to be a little bit different?
So there wasn't necessarily a ton that surprised me. There was one moment before practice where I saw him he was signing an autograph for someone. I don't know if it was a donor or an alumni or something. It was a 10-second thing, Mago. But as you know, I don't think I ever would have seen him do that before a Patriots practice in Foxborough, right? So that was one thing I noticed. The practice itself, again, he was on the field coaching. All the assistant coaches were on the sidelines, and all the non-participating players are on the sidelines because of the way they set it up. But he was on the field. He was really engaged, kind of pointing out, you know, where to put the ball, giving different coaching points to different players at times. So he seemed, the engagement in the hands-on was very similar to what I've seen in the past with the Patriots. Maybe it's slightly more relaxed, like I mentioned that autograph thing before, but it just seemed like if you watch the Patriots practice or watch them, it was very similar. One thing I will say, though, as I was talking to some people down there, and one of the things the North Carolina players like the most about Bill is his sense of humor. And that's, it's, I'm being
always
honest
with
like
that.
They said
wow.
That they think he's fun. Like, they respect him and it's serious, but his little like one-liners and witty jokes, I guess the kids down there eat that up and they think it's hysterical. And their whole mentality, and this is from the players, is that if they can't make it with him at UNC, they'll have no chance to make it in the NFL. So it feels like a lot of the players are diving in headfirst and really engaged. And again, like I was told, they think he's a pretty funny guy.
It's a great opportunity for those kids to be coached by one of the greatest coaches of all time. An interesting redemption arc for Belichick, possibly at UNC, where he likes to wield his influence and is in his happy spot on the football field. Maybe a little bit less of the happy spot is actually out there in the field of life with Jordan doing her influencer work. You can follow John at The Real John Lyons, LYONS. He'll be calling into our draft night coverage as well and recapping the draft on the Six Rings and Football Things podcast with me in just a little over a week and a half's time. And you can catch him on the weekends here on WEEI. Johnny, glad you had a good trip. Glad you're back. Thanks for the shout, man. Appreciate the intel.
Yeah, and hey, appreciate you guys having me on. Have a good rest of the day.
You too, buddy. John Lyons joining us following his trip to UNC to see the legend of Jordan. Oh, and 8-time Super Bowl winning coach Bill Belichick down there at UNC. 617-779-7937. If you went to UNC this weekend, what did you guys think about it? You probably didn't as well. When we come back, the show marches on here. Up next on WEEI, do we have conflicting scoopage reports once again regarding the Boston Bruins? Let's see if we can get to the bottom of this and if everyone's going to have a job after Wednesday morning. We'll talk about it here on WEEI Afternoons.
You can stream the show or listen on demand anytime. Just download the Odyssey app.
That's AUDACY.
Save WEEI as a favorite and listen wherever you go. Now, more of WEEI Afternoons.
With Hart, Fitzy, and Johnson.
The first whisper that was shared with me was that for the first time in perhaps ever, Bruins photo day, neither Cam Neely nor Don Sweeney were there and a part of the photo, which I believe that they normally are. The next whisper came to me that Wednesday of this week is a very big day for the organization. Wednesday will be a game-changing day for the organization. And the individual who was whispering to me, I said, please, I can't just say Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
And the one word that the person shared with me was resignation.
Ooh! That's more than zesty. That's spicy.
Spicy nugs.
Stiz, I thought we were coming back with the Whisper song unedited.
That's right. I totally forgot about that.
Yin Yang Twins.
You have to, 5 minutes is a long time to ask Stiz to remember something.
Wait till you hear Greg's take.
Yeah, are you going to play Greg's take?
Wait till you hear Greg's take.
What's he have to say? That was from this morning's Greg Hill Show. In between Scheim trolling the world and Courtney having a fist fight with the English language and Wiggy being Wiggy, Greg came in with a take of all takes.
Well, it's not really a take, is it? Information. It's a scoop.
A scoop. I apologize. That wasn't a take. That was a scoop. I got to separate my takes from my scoops. Greg had a scoop, everybody. Everyone's going to want to hear Hill Dog's scoop. Oh, how about that? So a trusted source telling Hillman that there's going to be a shakeup in the Bruins front office and that there could be a resignation early Wednesday morning.
I love it. This is the way to do it. because Greg is putting a timetable on it. He's not just saying, I have heard that something will happen someday and that something will change. He's saying, someone told me Wednesday there's going to be a resignation. Now, how big that's going to be, we'll get the other information that we got from another person with their own sources. That's the way you put it out there, though. You lay it out on the line with your whispers.
Resignation.
Resignation. Okay, so since then, so Greg's scoopage floated about the sports radio and, shall we say, hockey social media sphere for several hours. And then at 4.01 p.m., precisely 10.04 p.m., 4.01 p.m. today, Frank Saravalli, hockey insider, president of hockey content at Daily Faceoff, does have 361,000 followers, so must have some decent intel and info or be reasonably connected, tweets out, sources say no charges are expected in hashtag NHL Bruins front office. Both Don Sweeney and Cam Neely have been in lockstep, hard at work on the next iteration of the club. So, Mego, what's going on? Do we have, what do you think is going on here? Did Greg get some dirty scoopage? Or are the Bruins trying to push back against the inevitable? And won't they look silly if there's a shakeup in the front office Wednesday if somebody with a good following and a reputation like Frank Saravalli's says, oh, no, no, don't worry about it. There's going to be, I mean, this is a Sportsnet guy, so those guys usually know their hockey.
I totally believe, like, I don't know, that he has incredible sources, but what do the Bruins care if he looks wrong? Like, if the Bruins are indeed trying to figure this out, but they want their own timeline on it, if they have plans to let somebody go and they, or that somebody is going to resign and it's going to be a forced resignation, they don't care if, like, they tell somebody today and 48 hours later it's proven to be the exact opposite. It happens all the time. Why do they care? Like, they're giving the reporter information. The reporter takes it as a good source and puts it out there. On the other hand, same thing might happen with Greg. You know, that is the risk of the scoop game.
Mm-hmm. Has that ever happened to you before? Where you
that I got bad information?
Did you get bad scoopage? I try to
definitely.
Oh yeah.
I mean, I can't think of like something top of mind, but yeah, everybody's wrong once, more often.
Yeah, I mean, whether it's our own takes or, you know, us hazarding guesses,
but it's not always
sometimes
takes.
Sometimes the scoopage.
Sometimes somebody tells you something and you think it's really good information, and then it just wasn't, or something changed. And I hope that's not the case, because I do think that the Bruins need a big shakeup.
I do too, and I trust Greg on this one.
And if they're going into the position that they are in the NHL draft, and they're finally taking these steps where they trade away Brad Marchand, and they're going into a meaningful rebuild, they're ripping the Band-Aid off, then do it completely in a way that, like, the Patriots really dragged their feet to do, you know, trying to bridge this era post-Brady of Belichick and then to Mayo, and now it feels like they're finally resetting. I think a lot of Bruins fans would, if one of those guys were to go, they'd be like, okay, finally, it's time for a breath of fresh air over here, especially in the draft.
Yeah, I mean, the fact that they weren't at photo day seems a little bit strange, but that
the
could also be
whispered.
Minorly suspect as far as the whispers go. I'm sure the midday guys and Rich Keefe, who obviously has some pretty darn good Bruins scoops and insights, had their thoughts and feelings.
What was Keefe's temperature?
I need to know his. Yeah, I'm not sure if Keefe. Let's shoot him a text in the during the break and see.
Because I heard them talking about it on middays, but I didn't really get the sense of whether Keefe had heard something similar or if he was lukewarm on it. Because
if he did, he'd verify for sure. Stiz says he has something to add to the conversation.
Well,
what's
I was
up,
just going
to
add with Greg's whisper. So if Greg, in the off chance that he does get this wrong, would we then call that a careless whisper?
Ooh.
All right, I'll go home.
Janice, hello?
Janice? Oh, my God. You set us up for that? Janice, hello? Stiz.
Oh, boy.
Oh, he whispers. He's like, no, I got something good to add in this one. Hold on.
I hope Greg's right. I hope that this is good information that he has. He doesn't often put it out there and be wrong. because we know that Greg has a lot of information. He's connected to a lot of people, and he doesn't often say, like, I'm getting these whispers, even if he has good information. So, like, I feel like this is notable, and I know there'll be people who are out there to quickly poo-poo it and be like, oh, you're not in the press box or whatever. People get information from everywhere.
Yeah, and Greg doesn't want to look like a fool or feel like he's been played because, you know, he's got the morning show, he's got the big ratings. I'm gonna, you know what? I'm siding with Greg on this one. I think his intel, I'm guessing that why would someone who whispered that to him, carelessly or not, Stanley, don't, whoever whispered that to Greg, why would they want to put that out there unless they were just looking to completely shake things up and cause a whole row and stir within the Bruins organization and the Boston media landscape? I don't know. I mean, something smells a little bit fishy, but...
Is it possible that this could be a step lower than Neely and Sweeney, a director of scouting or something like that, because the draft has consistently been their biggest issue? Just a thought somewhere in the gray area between the two.
What if it was somebody in good faith telling Greg that it's going to be like some random collection of scouts?
Who
else in the front office?
My worry is that it's Joe Sacco, who is an interim and would probably be leaving anyways. And so it's a little bit of...
Would you define that as front office?
There's no house in Connecticut.
That's coaching staff. That is a totally different scenario. I'm not going back to that.
Yeah, okay. That's also fair. Could be someone else in the front office that isn't Sweeney or Cam, to which I say that doesn't qualify as significant, so that would not necessarily that wouldn't be incorrect scoopage, but it isn't dynamic enough for morning show action. 617-779-7937. Folks, it's all out there on the table for you. Belichick visits, hockey scoop-offs, the Red Sox, Celtics surging towards the playoffs. 6 days till their first game. Tomorrow night, we'll find out who it's going to be against. It's all there on the table for you, but we definitely need to get back after the Red Sox because, wow, this season is still mighty young. That was a mighty disappointing weekend on the south side of Chicago. We'll see if Janice is on the line when we get back. It's Fitzy and Mego and the crew here on WEEI Afternoons.